Hello, this is Kim Caldwell, your host of the Think Fit Show and author of How Green Smoothies Saved My Life. Today, we are going to talk about a subject that everybody needs to become aware of if you're not already aware of it. There is more and more mounting research leading to the concept that our mind and body is connected, and that every symptom or problem we experience is connected to the mind and a thought pattern we are having. So today we have brought a doctor in to the Think Fit Show, Dr. Poquet, and he is going to talk to us about our mind, about its connection to our body, about how our emotions are affecting our body, and other amazing things that will really help you out. Also, he's going to give us tips, different things we can do to help soothe the mind and thus heal and keep the body in a great place. Because here at the Think Fit Show, we are all about looking, feeling, and thinking our best. So this show is going to just contribute to your wellness and your health and your vitality, and I'm so excited to all of our vitality. So let's get started and think fit. Dr. Poquet, thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, thank you, Kim.
Well, I was looking on your website, and there is so much. I mean, you are so generous with your site, and you give so much information. A person could spend weeks there learning and studying. I liked the article, Choosing Happiness Instead of Stress for Your Body.
Oh, yes. Very interesting article.
Well, tell us a little bit about that and tell us how we can implement that in our lives.
Well, it's interesting. Our cells, it's like any other addiction. We can become addicted to stress, and our cells start to starve because what we're giving them is a stress hormone, and they want something more to eat.
See, that's fascinating to me because it makes complete sense, but I had never thought about it. You're saying that we actually get addicted to being stressed out?
Yes, we get addicted to those states of stressed out.
Okay, well, okay. And what can we do about it?
Well, it's one of the most important things is to focus on breathing. Practically, what happens is when we inhale through the nose, we activate our sympathetic or adrenaline system.
Mm-hmm.
And when we exhale through the mouth, we activate the parasympathetic system or the relaxation system. And so if you think about it, when we're eating something, we try to be calm when we're eating because we're using our lips. Our lips are moving. So anytime you exhale and you purse your lips slightly and make the exhale twice as long as the inhale, you are actually calming yourself down naturally, going with the rhythms of the mind-body connection.
Okay, I want everyone to understand this. So you're saying that we should breathe, correct me if I'm wrong, in through our nose and out through our mouth?
Yes, this is only for when you want to calm down, when you realize you're starting to get too stressed by something.
Okay, and this brings to mind something I'd heard before, that smokers, part of what they're doing is they're inhaling really deep, and they're getting oxygen in, and they think it's the cigarette that's calming them down, but a lot of it is that deep breathing and the blowing out, and just like you said, pursing, a lot of times they'll purse their lips.
Exactly. One of the things that you can use for smokers is exactly to give them that information because they already know how to do it. They're doing it every time they smoke because they're slowing their exhale down as they're exhaling the smoke.
Yeah, exactly.
And what appears to be something that nicotine is doing something else inside them, but they're essentially calming themselves down by the exhale each time through the mouth.
Okay.
And it has to be twice as long, pursing the lips slightly as you're exhaling, so that you can feel the air flowing over the lips.
Yeah.
And making it twice as long as the inhale is a good way to calm yourself down. If you were falling asleep, for example, driving a car, and you wanted to wake up, you would do exactly the opposite. You'd make your inhale twice as long as your exhale. Exhale.
Oh, that makes sense. Kind of short breaths out.
Wake yourself up by night. Long, deep inhales through the nose. It's just like where do we put smelling salts when a person is fainted?
Mm-hmm.
Right underneath the nose.
Okay.
It stimulates. It wakes up. So in through the nose wakes you up. Out through the mouth helps to relax you. And you can actually have one come on more than the other, by whether you make it twice as long on the inhale,
mm-hmm,
or twice as long on the exhale.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And bottom line is, Dr. Poquet, we all live in a society that we're going to get stressed out. And of course, I don't want to be afraid, and I don't want our listeners to be afraid when they do get stressed out. So is there a way to balance this?
Well, a lot of times I like to use the visualization of a little kid, when they're stressed out, they're just running from one room to another and screaming. And imagine on the field or the screen of your mind, that little kid in you is the one that has the fear.
Mm-hmm.
And that little kid just runs and runs one room and out the other, and watch him and have compassion for him or her.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the ways I think that, that people can go ahead and relax. Another is to realize that we have to use our whole brain in order to go ahead and be comfortable with daily living. And our left brain tends to be external focused.
Mm-hmm.
Our right brain is more internal focused. So when we speak of the healer within, we're talking about a right brain process more than it's the action hemisphere. It's the hemisphere where we generate most of our fear, worried about what's going to happen, worried about whether the situation outside myself is going to change or whether I'm going to be able to change inside myself. All that worry is generated by the left hemisphere. And the left hemisphere has veto power over the right hemisphere. In other words, when you are in a fearful state,
mm-hmm.
and the left brain will veto the right brain trying to think of anything else except what you're afraid of.
Okay.
So actually our left and right brain, bringing them together so that you have them both online, both used equally, is one of the things that we can consider doing. You know, what we know that the left brain is the language hemisphere, so it chit-chats.
Okay, so how, but not to interrupt you, but how do we do that? How do we bring them both online together so that we can relax?
Well, first, the goal, of course, is to go with the right brain process. And one of the best right brain processes to do, first of all, is to be in tune with your body.
Okay.
So right brain is the brain that prefers to be in tune with your body. Left brain ignores the body. Right brain tends to be in tune with the body. So as you're in tune with the body, for example, through your breathing,
mm-hmm.
if you do that breathing we just spoke of,
yes.
You're getting very much in tune with the right brain, and the right brain is having a chance to go ahead and balance whatever the left brain has been feeding it.
Okay.
So it's the left brain, again, is sort of the chit-chat brain. It's constantly is chattering. It's constantly talking, and it's all that talk that contains the fear, the worry, the pain, the fear that I won't be able to have my emotions because nobody will want to hear about what I really am going through.
Right. Okay. And what do we do with all that chit-chat?
Well, that's the, first of all, recognize it for what it is,
mm-hmm.
and go into sort of an observation mode. Meditation is very big on that in terms of just simply observe what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Don't try to analyze what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
If we were to put that in terms of left and right brain again, the right brain is the observational brain.
Mm-hmm.
It just observes or watches, whereas the left brain is the brain that analyzes.
Mm-hmm.
So when we get into an analytical mode, we start to have more chit-chat. We start to have a lot of chatter in that left brain. There's too much talk and not enough walk.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you start to go into your right brain by focusing first on breathing and starting to calm down, that's one of the best things we can do. One can also do a mantra
mm-hmm.
when one's doing the breathing.
Oh, yeah, I love mantras.
And so you could say something, for example,
mm-hmm.
On the inhale, you could say, I'm inhaling nothing but healing love, warmth, and nurturance.
Yeah.
And as I exhale, I'm exhaling anything which is toxic or unhealthy at this time of my life.
Nice.
So you could be, the more specific you can become, the better. So if you were worried about a particular issue in your life at the time, let's say it's money, or let's say it's something about how something that Congress has just passed is going to affect you, what you could do is simply say, I'm inhaling all the best of what can help me with those issues. And as I exhale, I'm exhaling anything which is upsetting or toxic for me.
Wonderful. I love that.
There's other things we can do, too, in terms of this bodily focus. You can, every time you go to the bathroom, you can say, I'm excreting anything which is unhealthy. I'm asking my liver enzymes to dissolve anything unhealthy. I'm asking my kidneys to filter out anything which is unhealthy.
And does our body respond to this and actually do it, or is it a mind thing?
It is a mind-body connection. So as you start to do it, your body actually does start to realize
wow.
that you don't want to be holding on to these things.
Wow, I never even thought about that. Okay, now, I'm loving everything you're saying. What about the concept that sometimes maybe, because I am from the Abraham Hicks school where they tell you to stay positive, focus positive, and I studied it for 12 years. Well, all of a sudden, my body kind of just said no. and it started really going into a thing. I feel like my body had repressed it for too long. So how do we know, you know, when, isn't it healthy sometimes to get it out and let it go? How do we know?
Exactly.
What's the balance? How can we get a balance between, you know, focusing on what we want, but when we need to, releasing the things that are not serving us?
Well, there are different aspects to this, and different people focus on different aspects. Positive thinking is fine, but it has to be consistent, and it has to be also realizing that there is negative thinking that has to be let go of. So in that sense, in order to make space or place for positive thinking, one has to get rid of something, remove something from the space or place so that something else can be put there. And so that's why it's very, very important not to push anything away. If we're feeling afraid, we have to embrace the fear.
Okay.
And as we face and embrace the fear, and that's part of why I suggested that visualization on the little kid running through the room. That's the beginning of facing it and realizing, really, it is nothing but a little two-year-old that wants to be that much afraid, where the fear is that immobilizing. And we don't make fun of ourselves. What we do is we learn to love the two-year-old and ourselves, even when the two-year-old is upset, even when the two-year-old is caught by something called fear. We become the adult parent to the two-year-old, where we didn't maybe have that kind of parenting, that maybe we weren't paid attention to when we were fearful when we were growing up. And so now we have the adult ourselves that's able to pay attention to the little child.
Okay. So when we're going through this fear, though, it feels overwhelming, and it feels like it's never going to go away. So is it going to go? So can we just know that once we embrace it, that sooner or later it will go away? And how much of it should we? I mean, you know, we don't want to. I want to know where, when you know when it, enough is enough.
Sure, that's fine. It's very good. Actually, if you sustain an emotion long enough, it eventually is going to change.
Okay.
So it's when we don't fully face or fully embrace it that it doesn't change.
Okay.
So the example I would used to use was a 2-liter bottle filled with our emotions. And if you start to, a lot of people say, maybe I can shake the bottle up and then the negative emotions will all get mixed in with the positive emotions. And if I shake it enough, and all you end up with is an explosion because you end up with all this carbonation buildup, and that's not the way to do it. And the worst or the most negative emotion, the ones that have been postponed the most, tend to float at the top. So when you take the cap off the 2-liter bottle, the first ones to flow out are the most negative emotions. So a lot of people are ashamed, and they say, well, I don't want to. Look at, I'm falling apart. I don't want to have all that. And they want to put the cap back on the bottle.
Right.
Actually, don't be afraid. Just realize that they are the first ones to come out because they've been put on hold the most. And part of facing and embracing them is to face and embrace the strongest ones that are surfacing at that very moment.
Ooh, that's encouraging. So you're saying the heavy negative energy or feelings that are coming off are the worst, and this too shall pass.
Yes.
Okay.
And not to be afraid with your adult mind.
Yes.
It's okay to watch the child get all upset because the child has been influencing you all along too.
Okay.
The child is still alive in us and still gets upset, but we don't have to be as upset if we start to look at it with the eyes of an adult. And we become our own parent to ourselves.
Ooh, that sounds nice. And give some soothing, encouraging words. Like, you know, I think to myself, okay, now if I had a friend that was having this problem or any problem, I would say, you know, everything's going to be okay. And just relax. And I would like to learn how to talk to myself that way, you know, to give myself the same respect that I would give, you know, a friend or a family member.
That's excellent, what you just said.
Yes.
And so you could do exactly that. You could talk to yourself as if you were your own best friend or a family member talking to yourself.
Absolutely.
There's an example of the guy that was actually behind all this is William James, the father of American psychology.
Okay.
And back in the 1800s, he had lower back pain and stomach upsets all the time. And he wanted to talk about consciousness, and he wanted to talk about mind, body, and spirit. And when, as a teacher, as a very, very good teacher at his school, he wanted to go ahead and talk about these things. And he noticed that the back pain was getting worse and worse the more he tried to talk about these kind of things. And they didn't know how to do much about the back pain in those days other than cut the nerves. And if they cut the nerves, of course, you could have you would be paralyzed. So you'd be spending the rest of your life in a wheelchair. You wouldn't have the back pain anymore, but you would be in a wheelchair. Well, that made him suicidally depressed. Mm-hmm. So it's very, very interesting. Here, mm-hmm. the father of psychology at age 27 was suicidally depressed.
Yes.
Because he was wrestling with this mind-body connection, and what do I do with all this pain and fear I have that nobody wants to hear what I have to say about the mind-body connection, about consciousness. And so what happened is he noticed on days where a few of his students were showing an interest in what he was talking about, there was less lower back pain. And then he noticed also on days where a few colleagues wouldn't be interested and he'd have a good conversation with one or two colleagues about consciousness or mind-body-spirit interconnectedness. He wrote on many different kinds of things. When he would have a good conversation, that the back pain also would be less on those days, too.
Mm-hmm.
So it turned out he didn't have to have the back surgery and lose his mobility or lose his nerves going down his spine. He realized that this was the mind-body connection by his own experience. He wasn't as suicidal, and he didn't have as many stomach aches.
And did the back eventually clear up?
The back eventually cleared up so that he didn't really... He used it as a barometer that he was getting off-center. He used it as a barometer that I need to nurture myself internally more because I'm taking too much of my left brain stuff too seriously.
Huh. That's fascinating. All right. For those of you just listening,
this
is Kim Caldwell with the Think Fit Show. I am here with Dr. Poquet, and he is teaching us all about the mind-body connection, and it is fascinating. Dr. Poquet, please go ahead. And what else about him?
What's interesting is we're talking about somebody in the 1800s during an era of stress that was going on there, Industrial Revolution and so forth. What we're talking about, what we know now, is Candace Pert, who is formerly of the National Institute of Health, she found out that the neural transmitters, the things that are actually the building block of emotions, they are actually the ones that go on inside the center of our brain, in our limbic or center of our brain, where our emotional brain is. They are also located in the lining of our stomach. And so when someone says, when you ask a little kid, how are you feeling, they don't come out and say, well, I'm really concerned about this particular issue that's going on in Congress and this particular issue that's going on in the industrial era, and I'm worried about the stock market. They don't say something like that. They just say, my tummy hurts.
Well, think about it. Adults don't either. And I am just getting into this school of thought, and luckily I found it before I wrote my book, How Green Smoothies Saved My Life. And I did the whole second half of the book is about lifting ourselves, and I did find all this and the mind-body connection, but I spent years believing that what I ate had something to do with if I had a stomach ache. I mean, adults, I don't think that, and it amazes me because, like you said, it's been around since the 1800s that they've been knowing this, but I don't think that everyone's completely aware that our emotions could actually give us a stomach ache.
Right, and Candace Pert, of course, quantified it and said that there's actually neurotransmitters that are down there that having a gut sense that something is wrong is just as valid as feeling it up in your brain.
And didn't you tell me that there is someone who uses that?
Yes, there was a Japanese man, Iwama Kazuo, who is the former president of the Sony Corporation. He used to make all of his business decisions based on what kind of a gut sense he got. So he used the gustatory sense. A gustatory sense is a sense of taste. He used the gustatory sense, and when he would get a bad taste in his mouth and somebody was asking him to do a particular business deal, he trusted that, and that's how he himself attributes his success running a corporation.
Wonderful.
By trusting the internal, this is where the healer really is within. And when we turn without, we're going to go off in terms of our, we're going to go off to a whole lot of other things, and the fear monster is going to run wild, and the monkey mind, the mind that races and shatters and gets all blown out of proportion, it tends to be dominant under those circumstances.
Okay, so you have an article also, I noticed, The Healer Within. So tell us a little bit, is there more we can learn about this, the healer? Wouldn't that help us to know about that?
Yes. Well, you can think of it, too, in terms of your heart, and this is anything which is egocentric, or anything which is dishonest that's coming at us or within us, causes the heart to compress a little bit tighter. It's like having a vice grip on your heart. Something's going wrong, and so the heart doesn't beat as freely as it could be. And this can accumulate. Our heart beats about 100,000 beats per day, or about 40 million beats per year. And in a 75-year lifespan, there's about 3 billion beats. So over time, we can end up contributing to our own heart disease. Or, go ahead.
But I'm sorry, but I'm really wanting to understand, do we have a healer that can help us in our inside of us? Is there a healer?
The healer is actually in every single cell.
Neat.
And every single cell wants wellness.
Okay, great.
And when we give it orders otherwise, it'll follow those orders. It'll follow the left brain telling us, let's be upset. That's where the choosing happiness instead of stress.
And Catherine Ponder, I don't know if you've read her or not, she's fabulous, and she knew all of this 50 years ago, and she's still around.
Huh.
She had a person that she was working with that was sick all the time. All the time. And she said to her, why don't you just focus? She said, tell me one thing about your body that is in great shape. And the woman really actually got kind of irritated with her. She said, I'm sick. You know, I don't know if anything's good with me. And Catherine said, what about your pinky? How's your pinky? And she said, well, my pinky's fine. She said, I want you to focus and talk about how healthy that pinky is for the next week, and then I'll see you next week.
Well, I think that's excellent.
And sure enough, then next week her whole hand was healthy, and the woman finally got it. And the woman for the rest of her life spoke about health and abundance and prosperity, and she spoke the words that her body was healthy, her body was vibrant. And
her body was her teacher.
Yes, and sure enough, because yes, our bodies hear everything we're saying. So the healer within is in every cell, you're saying?
Yes.
And
that's one of the...
We need to speak it.
And one of the most difficult things is when you have somebody that has, we all know what the placebo effect is. And
okay.
About 30 to 40% of the time, the placebo effect is showing us directly the mind-body connection,
mm-hmm.
30-40% of the time. But there's also the nocebo. Nocebo is nothing is going to make me better. And so when you are caught in a nocebo event, that's pretty difficult because then you don't trust anybody, even a medical doctor that might say, I can do this for you or that for you, or an alternative medicine practitioner might say, I can do this or that for you. The nocebo effect type of person won't believe in anything. That's why it's so important to go ahead and practice trust and gratitude. That gratitude is what keeps our heart open and keeps our mind open so that we can trust again that there is a way out of whatever we have created for ourselves.
Absolutely. I think that's wonderful and important to let people know about.
The article at the website I would suggest people read on that is Gratefulness and Prosperity. It's free at my website.
Yes. Well, and we're running. We've got about 3 or 4 minutes left. Are there any final ideas you want to give us in order to help us to continue to feel good and other things we can use?
Yes. The idea, again, coming back to the breathing, make sure that you do a mantra with the breathing of some sort. And if the mantra works best, if it's idiosyncratic, in other words, it has to be something that you choose that's typical for yourself. And so,
absolutely. More positive, reinforcing, life-affirming words to yourself, to your body.
Right.
Absolutely.
And then exhaling whatever else is unnecessary.
And I really like the idea of when you go to the restroom, saying that I'm releasing anything that's not serving me. Are there any other little tips like that?
Yes, let's see. There's when you shower,
mm-hmm.
you can imagine when you're taking a shower that the water is washing off all of the negative or toxic things or the poisonous things which don't belong to your body.
Mm-hmm.
You can ask that your skin, when you sweat, that you sweat that out, whether you're in the shower or whether you're just simply working out. That as you are sweating, that you are releasing.
Well, let me ask this question real quick. Well, okay, because would there be the school of thought that, because Abraham Hicks might say that you're perfect like you are, and we really, because I asked you that question, but I'm just getting the different opinions for everyone out there to choose what's best for them. Okay, Abraham Hicks would say you're perfect like you are, so why don't you focus on that? How do you feel about that?
That's excellent. I think that's exactly correct.
Okay. So they can choose either one.
You don't ignore the stuff that's there that you would like to release.
Right.
You can still say, I want to release anything but that which is already perfect as I am.
Exactly. Ooh, I love that. That's perfect.
And so as long as you release the other, you're just making more room for goodness and a healing flow to go through. You're just making more room for the healer within to take over and work on every section of your body.
Wonderful. Perfect. I think this is the perfect way to end. This is. I feel like we have a lot more to talk about. Dr. Poquet, could you come back and do another show with us?
I'd be glad to, Kim.
Because I'd love for you to talk to people about gratefulness and prosperity. And there were so many other articles. So absolutely. So we'll just definitely hear from you again. And I know this show is going to help so many people. And they can find you. Would you like to spell your name for how they can find you at your website?
Yes, it's P like in Paul, O-K-E-A, Dr. Daryl Poquet. And you can Google me and it'll come up. There'll be several different sections that should come up on the website.
Great. So it's drpoquet.com?
Yes, www.drpoquet.com.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, and thank you for all you're doing for everyone.
You're most welcome.
All righty. Wow, what an amazing show. I want to give my sincerest thanks to Dr. Poquet. He is so generous and gives us so much information. Please be sure to check out his website at drpoquet.com, drpoquet.com, where you're going to get some great articles you can read. They're going to give you all kinds of ideas on how to live a more empowered, wonderful life. Also, he has some meditations you can get that you might enjoy doing to help you relax and have more calm in your life. Also, please come by and check out my site, www.kimtalk.com, where you can find uplifting videos and the new Feel Good blog and get all kinds of ideas on how to empower yourself with nutrition for the body and for the mind. When you stop by, feel free to email me any suggestions you'd like to see for the show or any ideas you have. I'd love to get your input. It really makes the show. In closing, I'd just like to say Dr. Poquet gave us so many amazing ideas, and the trick is to stay conscious and to be aware of our thoughts and what's going on in our mind, and then use his tips and techniques like the deep breathing. That deep breathing is so amazing, how you can stop everything, take a deep breath, and reset your mind and your body and just start fresh right there in the moment. It's very empowering, and I know you'll love it when you start doing it. All right, please be sure to check out next week's show, where Dr. Poquet will give us another round of amazing tips, and he's going to talk to us about a big stress reducer that you may not have thought of, appreciation. Thank you for listening to the Think Fit Show. I'm Kim Caldwell.